My brothers and sisters, as has become our practice, let's pray. Father, you who are Lord of Lords and King of Kings, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us into your presence and giving us the joy of worshiping and praising your name. First, Lord, today I want to thank you for the person who blessed me this week anonymously. They are those who you have placed in my life who bless me, and I have the opportunity to thank them personally. And Father, as you know, I pray for them continually. However, this week, this one individual would rather remain anonymous, but I pray for them openly, asking for them as I ask for the others who send me blessings, that you would bless them 100-fold. Father, you not only know the one who blessed me anonymously, but all those who would like to but can't. You know those who are consistent with their blessings, and I truly thank you for each and every one. I ask that those you who bestow their blessings upon me would receive from you not only financially, but physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and in every good way possible for them and their families in Jesus' most holy name. I pray for them as well as all who listen to the podcast. We pray in agreement with you, Father, as well as with one another, making petitions and requests to you with thanksgiving that you will bless your sons and daughters who listen to the messages through the podcast that I believe you've given me. Father, may they be blessed and prosper in all they do according to your word and will. I pray and petition you, Father, that they and their families will walk in divine health and that their days upon the earth will be long and fruitful. We pray in agreement for Mandy Williams, Missy Marr, Erica, as well as my great niece, along with the young woman whom I love like a granddaughter. There are also the two gentlemen from Trinidad, one who is here in the U.S. and the other who is still in Trinidad. They are both in need of your healing touch. Also, Father, I thank you for my daughter in Violet, Louisiana, who came through those hospital tests under the blood of the Lamb. We know that everything is negative and her entire body is completely healthy. We pray for those who are under physical, mental, as well as emotional and spiritual attacks, whether they are psychotic breaks, mental breakdowns, demonic attacks, or other types of psychosis. May they all know you as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our God who heals. We ask again, Father, that they would all walk in divine health and free from pain, whether that pain is physical, emotional, or psychological. Father, we thank you that you continue to allow us to see your faithfulness on behalf of those whom you have moved so mightily. We thank you for each and every one who's seen and experiencing you as Jehovah Rapha. Lord, may we all hear your voice clearly and concisely, and that all we put our hands to be blessed according to your word and will. I pray and make all of these requests to you, Father, and that my family, as well as each and every one of your sons and daughters who are listening, along with their families, will walk in covenant with you all the days of their lives. May their covenant blessings with you be generational to the thousandth generation, Jesus, should you tarry. We ask these things, petitioning you, Father, with thanksgiving, in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello to each of you. I'm Prophet Beatrice Valerie Nero, and I welcome you to another episode of This is the Voice of the Prophet. This week's message is entitled, God Has Turned Your Curses into Blessings and Your Sadness into Joy. As a young Christian, I always thought that everything that went on negatively in my life was a demon. If my car broke or was running bad, it was a demon. It didn't matter that the car was nearly 15 years old and just needed to be replaced. If my finances were bad, it had to have been a demon, in spite of the fact that at that time in my life, I was just not very good at handling money. Neither did I realize at that time that our Father was teaching me to live by faith. And of course, there was also the matter that although I had never known or been involved with witches or warlocks, as far as I thought, they were always trying to put curses on me just because they hated me so much. Most of this erroneous poor teaching was due to the way that many of my early teachers and the leaders of my Christian adult life taught me. As a child, the nuns at the Catholic school I went to taught me absolutely nothing concerning spiritual warfare. And as a young Christian adult, those who taught me wrong. By the time I became a Christian and truly began to seek God, these teachers, and I use that word loosely, were so busy pushing the doctrines of curses, spiritual warfare, and witchcraft that they never taught about the love and power of Jesus Christ. I truly thank our Father for His grace and mercy. From what I learned from many of these people, you were either in a battle, just coming out of a battle, or just about to go into a battle. There was never a time of peace and joy. It was the same with curses. Either you were cursed by someone or something you did before you were saved, or you were cursed because of something those in your family had done before you were born. Please don't misunderstand me. After studying the Word and having the Holy Ghost place people in my life to teach me accurately, I did learn that generational curses are real. I know that spiritual warfare is real as well, but I also know that Jesus paid the price. And what I know without a doubt is what was stated in our last episodes is that one way or another, if I trust God, if you trust God, if we trust Him, have faith in Him, and stay in His will, He will fight our battles. It's absolutely amazing as to how often half-truths and misinformation are mixed and taught as doctrines, and so many believe them, even though the true and correct teachings are right there for us to learn from the Bible. However, there are so many who do not learn and are led astray by false teachings because they have not developed the discipline and enough of an intimacy with the Father to read and study His Word for themselves. However, that's an episode for another time. I've shared this testimony on more than one occasion. But for the sake of where God is taking us this week, let me share something with you again. When my sons were in school, not bragging, they were pretty smart boys. Although my oldest son is dyslexic, he was hyperactive, and there were a few other alphabets that they added to his diagnosis, he still did pretty well in school. My youngest son was who I would refer to as my near genius, and he truly was. I think he still has a near perfect memory. But with all of these good things going for both of them, both my sons dropped out of high school about a year before their graduations. When I began to petition our Father as to why this was occurring in both of their lives, God showed me that their father, grandfather, and generations before them had never finished high school. They had dropped out as well. He allowed me to see that it was a generational curse. There it was again, curses. But what our Father also taught me is that curses are under the law, whether generational or whatever. They are not under grace. Jesus took the curse upon Him when He was crucified. Paul reminds us of just that in Galatians 3:13. According to the Amplified Classic Edition, it reads, Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse, the doom of the law, and its condemnation by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, who is crucified. We are redeemed and set free from the curse through Christ Jesus. For certain offenses under the law, they were curses. And those curses, in some instances, were passed down to the third and fourth generation. The issue comes when we don't know our rights through Christ Jesus. Again, those curses were under the law. However, Satan is never fair when it comes to the sons and daughters of God. In state, local, and federal laws today, one cannot pay for the same crime twice. That's called double indemnity. In other words, once a crime is paid for, that's it. If a person has been sentenced for a crime and does the time for that crime, or for that matter, if a person has been found innocent for a crime and later on it's proven that they really committed it, they cannot be tried a second time for the same crime. Again, it's called double indemnity. Jesus paid for my sins, my parents' sins, and whoever else may have sinned down through the generations. And Satan cannot demand that my sons, your children, your sons and daughters pay again. It's like paying for your car, and instead of you getting your titles in the mail, you get another statement from your finance company stating that you have to pay for that same car again for another 5 years, even though you've already finished paying for it. I didn't have to go into spiritual warfare for my sons on that occasion, but I did have to stand in agreement with our Father concerning my sons. I did speak and decree that in the name of Jesus, they were not cursed, but blessed. They were not under the law, but grace. They were not under the curse of their descendants, no matter who had dropped out, quit, or gave up on high school before them. My two sons would finish high school, and they did. They not only finished, but they both went to college, and so have my grandchildren, and so will the rest of my descendants. The curse of the law is no longer in effect for my family or yours. So many are missing out on their blessings, education, marriages, careers, buying homes, and other opportunities because they don't know the blessings that our Father has in store for them. Too many believe that because no one else in their family did, neither can they. I believe that our Father wants us to know just how blessed we are and that we are not to accept the words of the curses that the enemy tries to speak against us and our families. Whereas some things that occur in our lives may be generational curses that the enemy wants us to continue paying for, but others are merely hereditary or cultural, and sometimes things just happen. But again, whether it's education, teen pregnancy, alcoholism, drug addictions, adultery, absent fathers, and all the rest, there is nothing that we can't go to our Father in prayer concerning our children, our marriages, and families. We must remember that we are blessed and not cursed. That's a mantra that's repeated in just about every church in this nation. And yet, there are still so many who accept things just the way they are. Well, it just runs in the family. No, it doesn't. Don't believe that you and your families are being punished for something that someone else did long ago. Don't believe that prison time is what your family has to experience. It doesn't matter if daddy, granddaddy, and great-granddaddy were all in prison at the same time. You and your sons and daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, and all the rest of your descendants will not be. You are blessed in spite of what the enemy says and what he wants to do to you. Yes, he may want to curse you, but when God says you're blessed, then you're blessed. In the book of Numbers, Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel. In Numbers 22 and 12, it reads, "But God said to Balaam, 'Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed.'" Even after being told that God's people are blessed, Balak still persisted that Balaam come with him to curse God's people. In Numbers 23:11, Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I brought you to curse my enemies, but you have done nothing but bless them." In the following chapter, Numbers 24, at the 10th verse, it reads, "Then Balak's anger burned against Balaam. He struck his hands together and said to him, 'I summoned you to curse my enemies, but you have blessed them these three times.'" That's exactly what our Father says about us. We are blessed, and the numbers of blessings that's upon us has no limit. What enemy of God's sons and daughters think that they can curse them when God has specifically said that we're blessed? We are blessed and not cursed. Listen to what it says in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, in verses 1 through 2. It reads, "On that day, the book of Moses was read aloud in the hearing of the people, and there it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever be admitted into the assembly of God, because they had not met the Israelites with food and water, but had hired Balaam to call a curse down on them. Our God, however, turned the curse into a blessing." The next time the enemy says that you're cursed, the next time he wants you to feel or think that you're cursed, that same curse has just been changed into a blessing for your life. Please join me next week as God continues to tell us in his own words that he has turned your curse into blessings and your sadness into joy. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of This is the Voice of the Prophet. I ask that each of you would share this podcast with others and always remember that it's available for listening on every podcast server and app. I continue to ask you for your support through your prayers. You can contact me through my email at ameeteagle@charter.net. That's ameeteagle@charter.net and through the Facebook post or Facebook Messenger. Thank you again for your prayers and support, and may God bless each and every one of you.